Hey, shout out to my teammates, Arthur and Anthony. Also, two folks that have been listening to the podcast for a while. We were sharing our opinions with each other about how some of the fights are going on, or how some of the fights this weekend are going to go down. It's helpful to me because it helps me kind of hear my own thoughts out loud. And some of the things I said to them today, I might change my mind and I might say something different on this podcast this evening than what I told them this morning. So
it's always like that.
So some close fights. So it'll be interesting. Did you want to just kind of jump into that this weekend for this weekend again?
Let's,
or do you
want to
like quickly recap last weekend's action and then go into UFC 300?
Yeah.
All right. What did you think about the decision for last weekend's UFC fight night? The headliner, Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis. Brendan Allen takes a split decision win. Was that the right decision?
I think so. Chris Curtis, mm-hmm. you know, he ended up blowing out his hamstring.
Yeah, he got hurt in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, man. So it, you know, Brendan Allen just looked, one, he looked kind of massive. And then two, he just looked dialed in. And, you know, Chris Curtis, he took this fight on short notice. So
good point. You know, good point. I forget that sometimes.
But I guess when you get the call and you're like, oh, I beat the guy before, but dude, Brendan Allen was on the streak. So, you know, it was bound to happen.
All right. Okay. What did you think about the rest of the card in terms of the quality of MMA technique, the action itself? I thought it was okay. It wasn't something like that. It blew me out of the water, but I don't think it was trash quality myself.
I think it was more like a, almost like an edge, like they're edging us towards the UFC 300 card, and they just needed to fulfill their fight count to ESPN. So I think the real MVP is Damon Jackson's hair transplant. Like, he looks good. He didn't even look like the same guy.
I wonder, like, okay, Damon Jackson, by the way, won a split decision against Alexander Hernandez at featherweight and in the co-main event. But you're absolutely right. I gotta ask, is there any word on like what was going on with his hair? Because in previous photos, he kind of looked like the beat up older cousin that you have in your family that like
that needs,
like, oh yeah, that's Damon. He fights. He's okay. And, you know, he kind of has this kind of disturbing look in the sense of he's not that old, but he had that look of someone going through a midlife crisis at the age of in the mid 30s. But with the hair transplant, it's just like, yo, like, who is this dude?
I mean, he's only 35, and I can only imagine how stressful being a pro fighter and going to the training camps, getting your fucking dome rubbed against headgear and the mats and shit like that. So, you know what I've also heard is
there's got to be a genetic component because
totally.
In previous photos, he looked like he's in his early 40s with that receding hairline and the bald spot. But hey, whatever company he's using for this new hair, and it's holding out against like an MMA fight camp and an MMA fight, and it's still there. I mean, he should be shouting out his hair person, whoever that is.
Dude, I heard it was probably from Turkey. Something like that. Somewhere.
You had to go
somewhere.
Overseas.
Yeah, I heard he went overseas. Like
borderline experimental for his hair.
I heard I think he was on an interview with like John Anik or Kenny Florian or something like that. And he had explained that he had it done somewhere in like Turkey. I don't know if it was an interview or if it was like a fun fact, but I have heard people get hair transplants as MMA fighters. And as soon as they start training, the actual stuff, that the plugs start coming out or something like that. And I'm just like,
well,
fuck.
Damn, you're putting your body through so much trauma And like, don't like hair plugs. That's a fucking expensive procedure.
Oh, yeah. That's so why they go overseas.
Wouldn't you wait till you're completely retired to do something like that? To do hair plugs?
Totally. Totally.
Especially if your combat sports job involves a lot of grappling where your head is getting pushed into the mat. Yeah. Your head's being grabbed. You're being clinched up. I mean, like, if I spent that much money on hair plugs, I don't want anybody fucking touching my hair.
No. But dude, did you see Cowboys hair transplant? That shit. That set him back.
Donald Cerrone got a hair transplant?
Oh, yeah. Dude, he got hair transplant. What? He's on TRT. It's like, dude, he looks like a totally different guy. Like, he's in movies and shit. He's low
really
budget,
trying to
granted.
Get into movies. Huh?
Totally. But, dude, he looks great. I can't wait to get both of those later on.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but like Sean sounds like he's in love right now talking about Donald Cerrone
and Damon Jackson.
He's going to start putting like posters of Donald Cerrone and Damon Jackson in a room. In his room. His wife's going to start asking questions about what's going on over here.
I mean, the rest of the card was actually pretty good. I mean, I did like the Charlie Campbell, Trevor Peak fight. That was a really good fight. The Bahamundes win was really good against Christos Giagos. Other than that, you know.
I was a little disappointed in the Norma Dumont versus Jermaine Durandamy fight. I kind of wanted a little bit more from Durandamy. Just to see if you could see a little bit of that past striking greatness kind of come through in this fight. But it wasn't meant to be. Norma Dumont did the job. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, Durandamy, her grappling just... didn't look good at all, man.
It's just non-existent. No, non-existent. You think about this time off, you'd work on that.
Agreed.
But no dice.
No dice. I wonder who she's training with. Like, I wonder if she's back home.
I think she's back in the Netherlands. That's my thinking.
Do they have grappling in the Netherlands? No.
Bro, I don't even know.
No.
Technically, you could argue there's grappling everywhere. And I think what Sean is asking is, what is the quality of training that you're getting in your particular region? And Sean right now is saying that the Netherlands grappling scene is not deep enough for an active MMA fighter to benefit from.
So
means all you kickboxers in the Netherlands listening to this right now can go and try to threaten to kick Sean's ass for disrespecting your motherland.
Or you better call Craig Jones to do a seminar and like hang out over
there. Yeah, he's traveling. Hey, let's jump to last weekend's One Friday Fights 58.
Dude, that was good,
Super Bond versus Gregorian 2.
Dude.
They fought for an interim featherweight kickboxing world championship. I'm going to eat a shut up white belt, Carlo, for this one. I thought Gregorian would have a little bit too much hand speed, but Super Bond made some really great adjustments with some of his punching tactics himself. And he wins a unanimous decision over 5 rounds. So congratulations to Super Bond.
Yeah, dude. For some reason, he just looked really good. Like you said, the adjustments that he made were the right adjustments.
Really, really impressive. And bantamweight Muay Thai, Nongo wins a unanimous decision over 3 rounds against his fellow Thai fighter, Kulabdam Sorjor Peak Utai. Ooh, man, I'm practically Thai, man. You guys read that shit? But I'm killing this foreign name shit right now, guys. So that was a good card. And then one also had a one fight night 21, Earcel versus Nicolas. That was also a kickboxing world championship at lightweight. Nicolas wins a unanimous decision.
Crazy.
Over 5 rounds against Earcel. I got to eat a fucking white belt for this one as well. I thought Earcel was going to take this.
Same here. That's unfortunate though, because, you know, Regan was on a freaking long 22 bout winning streak. It's crazy to lose that. Honestly, to me, Nicolas was relatively unknown to me. I just didn't really know who he was. But.
Yeah. No, I admit it. I didn't know enough about him to give him enough credit for this one.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part.
On the same card, the Rotolo brothers participated in a submission grappling matches, not against each other, against opponents that they pulled. And they kind of They both won by the exact same submission. They were calling it, what did they call it? Rotolatine? It's essentially an arm triangle from the back.
Yeah, but for some reason, they end up in that position a ton. And like, if you see the, there was that takedown exchange. I forget if it was Ty or if it was Cade, but he was able to.
You're saying they look the same? How dare you, Sean?
No.
How dare you?
Not at all.
They're their own separate person.
Separate person by hair. That's about it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm sorry. Finish your point, Sean.
No, I was just saying like some of the weird scrambles that they get in, dude, they have an answer for pretty much everything. There was this big like sweep or this overthrow that he did and ended up taking the dude's back like right off. Just how the fuck does this guy do that? How do they do this shit?
It's pretty crazy. You know, when they get older and they get tired of competing, it'll be curious to see whether they decide to open their own academy. You know, sometimes incredible competitors aren't the best coaches.
But don't they, aren't they going to,
I think they do seminars, correct?
But I saw that they're planning to open something or if it's in their house.
Oh, are they?
I think so. Are like they? There was a post. Okay.
Because I always thought they just train in their garage most of the time.
You know, maybe it's a nice garage. Who knows?
Yeah.
But did you see also that one of the Rotolas is going to make an MMA debut in a few months? Did you see that?
Yeah. Which one is that? Is that Cade?
I think it's
the
Cade.
One who. Okay. He's the bigger one.
We might be
one.
Full of shit too. So I don't know.
You know, it'll be really interesting because they have the kind of grappling pace that does translate pretty well to MMA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not, their game isn't necessarily gi dependent. And so it'll be interesting. Strikes does change a lot of things in the grappling exchanges. You know, that whole saying, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that old thing that Matt Hughes said when he was matched up against Royce Gracie? It's like if I'm in his guard and he tries to submit me,
just punch him in the face.
Like, what's he going to do when I just punch him in the face? That'd be like that is my number one defense against any submission attempts.
True.
It's a punch in the face. I think that's what he said. And he wasn't too wrong about that.
Spoken like a true.
So yeah, a lot of action by ONE Championship. Also last week, PFL began their season, their fight season. They had heavyweights and female flyweights. Some surprises here. Moldovsky defeated Dalija by TKO. I was surprised about that. Some things that weren't a surprise. Carmouche won a decision versus Velasquez.
That's like the third women's flyweight. Goddamn. That's like their third fight together. I'm curious about this.
Oh, is it? Have they fought that against each other that many times?
Yeah, dude. And I'm surprised to see why Liz Carmouche was put, because that was co-main event. Am I not mistaken?
It was on the main card, but it was the third fight from the main event. Co-main event was the heavyweights Goltsov versus Vassell. Goltsov won by TKO.
But interesting matchup. But that's just such an interesting matchup because does that mean that's kind of like your poster child right there, where it's like the 40-year-old champion that beat the girl like three times already. Like what happens with Liz Carmouche now? Like, is there no one else for her to fight?
Well, I guess because as the season goes, how you win gives you points.
True.
So then it gives you the seeding. She won by a decision though. So I wonder if that's going to lower her seeding a little bit because on the other side of women's flyweight, Tayla Santos won by submission versus her opponent, Joanne. And I think that's an impressive PFL debut for Tayla Santos. We talked about her last week.
Yeah.
Winning by submission, that should knock up the points for her in her seeding when they put together the tournament later in the season. I'm looking forward to that. I want to see Santos versus Carmouche in the finals. Down the line. So keep our eyes open for that at on PFL.
Who wins that fight though?
Oh man. I gotta go with Santos.
Same.
She's younger. She's really strong. She's showing really good fight IQ, I feel. I think she could win in a number of aspects. But damn, Carmouche like proves me wrong a lot of times with her smarts and her toughness. So, but I think right now, asking me today, I'm going to go with Tyler Santos.
Nice. I agree. How about that European fighter that opened up the card? What's her name? Dakota Decheva? Is that the open the main card or what did she open?
Oh, right. How do you pronounce it? Decheva?
Yeah, she's actually pretty good, man.
Yo, dude, wins by TKO. I remember her, the thing with her was hand speed.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, when I was kind of scouting her last season, poor fucking Lisa Muldeen just, I mean, like you really just face. Didn't have a chance in yeah. this one. I mean, what did Shiva, like landed 40 out of 47 strikes. I mean, Jesus. I mean, Muldeen like only landed 4 out of 14. It wasn't close. It wasn't close. I mean, Muldeen landed one takedown, but that Shiva that got two of them. So, I mean,
do you think that Muldeen, I'm just curious why she's in the regular season anyway. Like I don't know any other flyweights that are on the women's flyweight
yeah.
season. And it's like, cool. Dakota is like probably going to be, maybe as of right now, like top seed. She did get a finish in what, and you know, the first round. So that's probably worth a bunch of points. So I'm wondering,
yeah,
you know, Lisa probably falls down in the queue, but it's like, who else is in the fucking, I wish they had like a list.
No, you know, that's, I, you know, I think in the, probably if you go on the schedule of PFL and you look at this, the upcoming events, there's going to be more flyweight matchups than the one, I got to feel. They can't just leave it like this because it'd be too shallow.
How would it play out if Tyler Santos went up against Dakota Decheva?
Oh,
that'd be a pretty good fucking fight.
You know, in my head, I was thinking about Decheva versus Carmouche, but Santos versus Decheva.
They're both pretty long.
But I think Santos's power.
True. And she's
could be the difference there.
And she's fought fucking Valentina too. So it's like, you can't.
And she's been in there with some very top notch competition. Yeah. So that will be interesting. That will be interesting. So we'll see how the points shake out as the season goes by and see how the seeding happens and who gets matched up with who.
And we'll try to be more excited about the PFL's tournament next time.
Well, there's a lot that goes on with it. There's a ton of fighters. So we just don't want to inundate you guys with like a ton of names that maybe you haven't heard of. But this is interesting stuff. I think the female flyweight section of the PFL this season, it's got some compelling possibilities. So agreed. I'm super curious to see how it shakes out.
Yeah. I think
I'm sorry.
Last point I'll make is I hope that they kind of learn from this and bring in more of these like undefeated fighters. I think it just makes for better entertainment and more of a storyline rather than putting like Decheva versus Lisa Muldeen, who's, you know, her record is not that great, but it's like
6-4 or something like that.
Yeah. And it's,
if I believe,
Decheva kind of, she didn't go super viral, but she was all over the, you know, ESPN and all this other stuff. So that's good exposure for them.
Good exposure for these fighters is a good thing. Hopefully get some paid out. So happy for them.
Yeah.
And so now let's look forward to this weekend. UFC 300, the big 300.
Can we do something T-Mobile different?
T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. We're finally here. Let's do something different, Sean. Let's start lighting candles, get naked. Wait, what are we talking
about? Pull out the lotion.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. All you listeners right now, turn out the lights wherever you are.
Well,
even if you're at work,
yeah,
make yourselves comfortable.
So since
pull your feet out. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Lube your ass. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. What?
Let's start from the bottom since all the fights are kind of like, you know,
the pretty bottom. Much,
yeah. Let's
the bottom
start from
the
bottom
of the main card or the bottom of the prelims?
Let's start from the bottom of the prelims.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll
spend like a minute on each and see who, and you know, we'll talk about.
There's a lot of big names even in the prelims. So let's go. I like it. We're going to start from the bottom, guys.
All right. Davison Figueiredo, former champion versus former champion Cody Garbrandt. Who you got and why?
I think Cody Garbrandt is going to have a hard time. His history has shown he's a little bit chinny. Figueiredo has shown that his power has transferred pretty decently to bantamweight. And he's got enough of an awkward style where it's going to make it a little bit more unpredictable for Cody Garbrandt, where he can't just use his kind of rhythm-dependent head movement to avoid some of this stuff. So I'm going to go with Figueiredo.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Figueiredo. I just don't think that, you know, Cody's been out for so long, and I think that you're right. I think Figueiredo's weight jump has been pretty successful, and I think he still is as explosive as, and probably even faster than Cody at this point. So I don't know who's taller. I don't think it really matters, but Dayson Figueiredo, he's got some long arms and his grappling is nasty. So I'm going to go Figueiredo.
That's what she said. Wait, what are we talking about?
How about Jim fucking Miller versus Miller. Bobby King Green?
Oh man, at lightweight. This one's pretty tight in terms of the odds. Jim Miller, only a +150 underdog. Bobby Green, a -180 favorite. I am a fan of older fighters, especially when they've shown high fight IQ, when they show an evolution in their approach. I am a fan of Jim Miller. I am rooting for Jim Miller. The problem will be, how does he handle the early part of the fight where Bobby Green's high speed reactionary type of defense and counter striking can really bother someone's rhythm? Can Jim Miller weather that and turn it into a cleaner type of fight and go into the grappling range that where he can be more successful? I'm rooting for Jim Miller. I'm going to go with Jim Miller by a second round submission.
Nice. I'm going to say the same. I feel like Jim Miller, even though, you know, he is the older and maybe less explosive fighter, I feel like Bobby Green, you know, he's also been on a kind of a losing streak, also been stopped a few times. I'm thinking his last three fights, he's been stopped. I think that Jim Miller's going to be able to weather the storm, especially in the beginning. But, you know, Bobby Green keeps his hands real low most of the time. That kind of plays into his game. And I agree. I think Jim Miller submits him probably the last round.
It'll be interesting. You know, if Jim Miller throws a careless left hand, Bobby Green can make you pay if you, like, you miss, and he could feed back with some good power on his counter punches. So I'll be interested in that. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez at strawweight. Jessica Andrade, a -135 favorite. Marina Rodriguez, only a +114 underdog. Who you got, Sean?
You know, Jessica Andrade is going back fighting at strawweight, which, you know, she's ranked number 4. She's maybe a fight or two away to be talked about in the into title contention. But I just feel like she's been stopped a little bit too much in her past fights, and not sure how she's going to be able to weather Marina Rodriguez is striking. I probably would bet that Jessica Andrade would probably want to try to use her jiu-jitsu this time. Marina Rodriguez has had some issues when she's been on her back. So
yeah,
I'm actually going to go with Marina Rodriguez. I think she stops her within 2.
And just through the hand speed and the volume of striking, Her Muay Thai is just down.
Her Muay Thai is just filthy.
Okay. All right. Okay. I like that one. Lightweight bout, Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. I'm going to go with Jalen Turner here just because he doesn't have as many tattoos.
you know, Jalen Turner is also a really huge lightweight.
And yeah, that's a big lightweight.
It's a big fucking lightweight. Since
you want to use actual substantive analysis, Sean, yeah, okay. Jalen Turner's bigger.
Yeah, much bigger. Everywhere.
That's what she said.
You know, Renato Moicano coming up from featherweight. You know, I love his YouTube and I love his like content lately. He's a smart dude. But, you know, Jalen Turner looks like he's kind of unstoppable. I think he's on his way up. So I'll give it a Jalen Turner. I think he wins a decision.
Okay. I like that. I'll go with a stoppage in round 2.
Nice. Then we move on to Sadiq Youssef and Diego the Barber Lopez. I'm kidding.
Calling him the Barber because he's Diego Lopez looks like he's, how old is he? Like maybe 27, but he has a hairstyle that essentially is a comb over. So maybe he needs to talk to Damon Jackson about some hair plugs. Maybe he's hiding something. I doubt it, but it does look kind of interesting.
Yeah. Who you got on this
Who
one?
You got? Who you got?
So
this one, I'm gonna go with Sadiq, even though he's a plus 120 underdog.
I think I'm gonna go with Lopez. You know, if Lopez can, you know, get into his own groove and get into his own range, I feel like Sadiq Youssef is really good about evading a lot of the attacks of his past opponents. I think Diego Lopez can hopefully negate that probably by the second round and maybe pull off a, you know, surprise freaking TKO. So I'm go second round TKO Diego Lopez.
Big female bantamweight bout on the main card. Former champion Holly Holm welcomes Kayla Harrison to the UFC. Again, I did not misstate the weight. This is bantamweight. And yes, Kayla Harrison used to fight at 155. This will be her professional debut at 135 pounds. I go back and forth on this, Sean. I love Holly Holm's style. I love the fight IQ. I love her approach, her insistence on not necessarily trying to go in there and win power exchanges with her opponents. And normally I would go with Holly Holm here just out of experience. Fight IQ, just smarts, being familiar with being in a big UFC event. But Holly Holm is 42 years old. Damn. Kayla Harrison, 33 years old. And I could see Holly Holm looking good in the first two thirds of the first round. And then just like the youth and the physicality of Kayla Harrison finally coming through, especially in the second round, and just kind of wearing it all out. So I think I'm going to go with Kayla Harrison by decision here, which kind of hurts me because I'm actually rooting for Holly Holm, but yeah. I got to be realistic.
You know, Holly Holm's still ranked number 5. I feel like lately she's been veering away from her striking pedigree. I noticed that nowadays her game plan is usually to smother and to kind of clinch up and try to beat up and almost even try to take them down to, you know, edge out fights. But you know what happens when you get into the clinch with Kayla Harrison?
That is a hard order right there. Now, but let me ask you though, obviously she still has the clinching skill that doesn't go away, but she is now at bantamweight. Does she remain as strong at bantamweight as she was at lightweight?
I did see
I'm speaking of Kayla Harrison. Yeah, yeah.
I did see the press conference. She looks pretty healthy. She looks pretty freaking ripped, and she looks jacked. Let's just say it. She looks pretty jacked right now. And I don't think I'm pretty sure she'll make the weight. I just don't know if she'll be able to hold Holly down when she gets her down. She had some issues with Alyssa Pacheco, but that's a different weight class, obviously. But I don't think she's fought anyone with Holly Holm's experience. But I'm still going to go with Kayla, but I wouldn't be surprised if Holly Holm pulls off the decision win.
Let's hope. Holly, do it for all the plus 40 athletes there. Present company included. Hey, former bantamweight champion Aljamain Sterling going up against Calvin Kattar at featherweight. Who we got?
You know, Aljamain Sterling was a great bantamweight champion. The only thing I do worry about is he is going up in weight. Calvin Kattar is a huge 45er. Not sure how.
Yeah, Aljamain's, he's a heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy hitter at featherweight.
Not sure how well Aljamain's grappling is going to play out on Calvin Kattar, but I mean, once he gets on his back, I mean, that's kind of a wrap. But Calvin Kattar's boxing is really probably his bread and butter. So, man, I feel like Aljamain's going to be able to get in.
Does Aljamain's herky jerky striking approach, can it score enough to bother Calvin?
I think it will. I think as long as Aljamain keeps moving, and I think as long as he's fainting and he's faking the shots, I think he'll be able to throw Calvin Kattar off his game plan. So I think Aljamain takes it by decision.
I think I like the more of the summation of Aljamain's skill set in terms of the MMA context.
Yeah.
In comparison to Kattar. But again, this is that power differential. I just feel like it's going to be a little bit different than 135 that Sterling was so excellent at. I'm going to go with Kattar.
No.
even though I am kind of rooting for Aljamain to show out pretty good here.
It's going to be an interesting fight for sure.
So headlining the prelims, Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic at light heavyweight. Okay, what are we looking at here? Jiří Procházka, super exciting fighter over here. Rakic from Serbia, also another exciting fighter. Interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Someone gets hurt?
Man, this is going to be a tough one. I think Jiří, he's going to want to get that win back from last time against Poatan. Mm. Rakic, he's, you know, super hungry. You know, both these guys kind of represent that whole martial arts pedigree, but I just feel like, man, I don't know, dude. What do you think? I've been going back and forth on this shit.
I'm going to go with the Serbian Rakic. I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. Rakic. I don't know why I did that. Rakic. Alexander Rakic. Rakic, I'm going to go with him because I have questions as to whether Procházka is truly going into this fight healthy.
Oh.
Just something about this his style of fighting, just kind of like training like that, training to fight like that. It's just super hard on the body at light heavyweight, I feel. So I'm going to go with Rakic.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Rakic as well. I think Yuri's style, I think people have kind of figured him out at this point. And
yeah, he's so wild. He's athletic, but there is kind of a rhythm that you could pick up on it.
Totally. So Rakic in three.
Let's go into the main card. Opening the main card is a ridiculous matchup. middleweight, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. I'm saying it's ridiculous because Bo Nickel is a minus 2100 favorite. I've even seen numbers as high as a minus 3000.
Damn.
Cody Brundage, a plus 1100 underdog.
It's not a bad bet.
It might be worth it to you just to throw $50 on Cody just to see what happens. It is MMA. Weird shit can happen. It's very unlikely here, but weird shit can happen, Sean.
Yeah. I mean, you might want to put a parlay together, just throw this one in there just for the hell of it. Or, I mean, I don't know how that works, but.
All right. So, like, so how does Bo Nickel win? now that we put that out of the way for all you gambling addicts out there,
I think he probably knocks him out.
You have no idea. Yeah, really? He knocks him out or chokes him out?
I think he knocks him out.
Knocks him out. He does have a mean right hook.
Yep.
So let's go on to a lightweight match that has some title implications in the lightweight division. Former champion Charles Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian. Armin Sarukian opening as a minus 225 favorite, which kind of surprised me. Oliveira, plus 185 underdog. I'm going to go with Oliveira here. I think he's got one more run in him. But so there's going to be a point where Sarukian does hurt Oliveira on the feet. But Oliveira will still have enough tricks up his sleeve to come back from it.
Man.
For this one last time.
I'm going to go with Sarukian only because, you know, Charles Oliveira.
Only because he's a minus 225 favorite.
Well, not only that, it's just, I'm not saying that he has a pass of like give it up or like, or get, but he does get hurt though. That's the problem. And
does
he come back after he gets hurt is my thing. And it's like, you say he will. And I say,
I think he's got one more or two more fights where he could do that. But after that,
I think he probably dominates on top for maybe two rounds.
Like you think he'll get a takedown on Oliveira?
I think so. I think if
it's only because Sarukian's takedown accuracy is only 36%.
Well, I don't think he's had to use it too much, but I mean, anyone that made his UFC debut against, you know, now lightweight champion and gave him a run for his money. One thing that I did notice is that with Charles Oliveira, if, you know, when he gets hurt and he goes down, I noticed that most people are a little bit scared and a little bit hesitant to go in and to try to like throw caution to the wind and try to finish him. I feel like if Armin can
punches on the ground, they strike him on the ground because they're afraid of being submitted.
Yes. So I think if, as long as he's not scared to, and this was something I heard from Paul Felder, because Paul Felder actually finished Charles Oliveira back then. And his thing was he didn't want to be scared to go down there and throw punches down there. So it's like,
okay,
it's a good strategy from that guy. We'll see what happens.
All right. It should be noted, like, based on like the point you made, based on something I just said, numbers wise, Oliveira does absorb more significant strikes per minute than Armin Sarukian. Yeah. So I think he's got one more run in him where he could survive something like that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the next fight up on the card. It's good. This will be fought at lightweight. It's the BMF fight between Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. Justin Gaethje, obviously the bigger fighter. Max Holloway, former featherweight champion. I think over the past few weeks, Sean, we've both kind of, you know, I mean, like, two exciting fighters, but also we've kind of lampooned the fact that this kind of fucks up both divisions in a way.
Yeah.
But who do you got? Now that we're here, who we got? We got to pick somebody.
I went back and forth with this a bunch. And, you know, I was watching a bunch of Max Holloway's video blogs. And, you know, at first I was, you know, pro Justin Gaethje just because he just has all the power and you know, the leg kicks and everything else. But Max Holloway did try to do this before and failed, you know, still didn't get knocked out, still never even got dropped by Dustin Poirier. But he also took that fight on, I think it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks notice.
It was pretty short notice. You're
yeah,
right.
He had no time to bulk up. And apparently all he did was just eat whatever he wanted and never put on the right muscle and probably affected his cardio at that point. So he's had a full training camp for this. I did see him at the press conference. He's looking big. He's looking pretty large. You know, he's 5'11", a little bit taller than Justin Gaethje. And, you know, I'm going to go with Max. I think he's going to be able to pull it off. I don't think he knocks Justin Gaethje out or anything like that, but I think it's going to be a bloodbath, but I think he edges out, split decision.
This is a 3-round fight. Or is it a 5-round?
It's got to be a 5 if they're fighting for a belt. And
if they're fighting for a fake belt, even if you fight for a fake belt, it's 5 rounds.
Fun fact also is that Mark Coleman's going to be given the belt out because he's the realist.
Have they confirmed that?
I saw that today. I think they confirmed that. I think Dana White confirmed it.
All right. I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje just for the power differential. Yeah. Let's jump to the co-main event women's strawweight title fight, the champion Weili Zhang versus challenger. Xiaonan Yan. I'm going to go with Weili Zhang. I think she's more well-rounded. I think this is a little too soon for Yan. But Yan's chance to get this is to kind of force Weili Zhang to be impatient with her power, try to get in there, and for Yan to just kind of outpoint her. Don't try to engage her power for power.
Yeah.
Even though Yan's known for like aggressive volume striking, but I just don't go in there and try to exchange power with Weili Zhang. But I'm going to go with Weili Zhang on this one. I think she has more ways to win.
I'm going to agree with that. I think just there was a clip recently where she was just hitting pads and I was just like, ooh, that just, I mean, you know, you can't judge anything by hitting pads, but just Weili Zhang, just she's improved every fight. She's evolved. She's pretty much like a Dragon Ball character. She just keeps upgrading.
And she's adding like grappling to her game as well. God damn.
I mean, I don't know if Yan Xiaonan is doing the same thing over at Alpha Male. I'm sure she's getting some really good training in with some good training partners, but I just feel like, you know, Weili Zhang, she's been training with John Wood. So she's been in Vegas at Syndicate and, you know, there's a bunch of bodies over there compared to Team Alpha Male. My thing was with this fight, it's like, I get that, you know, this is a championship fight, but this could have been one of those fights that you could have done in like China and had like, you know, promoting their performance institute and probably one of the biggest
performance enhancing drugs. No, I'm just kidding. you know, there has been another podcast that mentioned that, that they feel like maybe the UFC missed an opportunity here to book this in China. Hey, I think it would, the UFC would, when they were in plans for booking UFC 300, this was a fight that was available at that time to book for this date. So they kind of just had to pull the trigger on it. You know, you did mention something now that I think about it. Do you think Yan resorts to some type of grappling to try to negate the power punching of Weili Zhang? Or does she try to avoid Weili Zhang's power altogether, avoid clinching? Because Weili Zhang has shown that she's strong in any kind of clinching situation as well.
Yeah, I mean, Weili Zhang's good pretty much everywhere, but she was able to submit Carla Sparta to get the title. So it's, you know, a lot of the skill sets starting to point to Zhang, where Jeannine has to almost pull out all the stops. Now, I don't know if she has it in her. I don't think she has a complete package to beat Weili Zhang. Okay. But the grappling, if she does, I feel like she's going to end up on the bottom regardless. It's going to be.
I'm going to take Weili Zhang by decision.
Same.
This one. So let's go. Headline fight, light heavyweight title on the line. Champion Alex Pereira versus former champion Jamahal Hill. Alex Pereira opening as a -135 favorite. Jamahal Hill, a +114 underdog. I go back and forth on this.
Same.
Sean, one day I'm Pereira, one day I'm Jamahal Hill. Today, talking it out with Arthur, talking it out with Anthony, shout out to the teammates over there at Cohaldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm going to go with Jamahal Hill with the caveat of, as long as Jamahal Hill doesn't purposely get too thirsty for a knockout. Like, his herky jerky jumping in and out striking style can give Alex Pereira problems, as long as he doesn't just stay in the pocket to try to exchange with Alex.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Jamahal Hill. Maybe on the fact that he does maybe have a few more ways to win. I know that his grappling is probably better than Alex Pereira, and his jiu-jitsu is probably better. Not that he uses it a lot, but one thing he has to be careful of is probably his, you know, Jamahal Hill throwing leg kicks. There's a huge counter coming down the middle if he does start throwing leg kicks. So I think his boxing is probably just a little bit better. And Alex does keep his hands pretty low. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Jamahal Hill.
Yeah, would the key be for Jamahal for more high kicks, like kicks as high as the shoulder, in and out punches, straight kicks down the middle, and just watch out for Pereira's left hook? You know, I wonder though, sometimes if you're so cautious about a particular weapon of a fighter, that you kind of just, self-fulfilling prophecy, fall into that weapon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Pereira just has that gift of just, everyone knows about his left hook, but he has that gift of just getting there
with
almost every one of his opponents. And it's so interesting. Pereira's got this aura about him now. You know what I mean? Just like, people just think about him and they go, man, that guy is a fucking knockout machine.
Chama. Is that what they say? Some shit like that. That dude's fucking crazy.
So it'd be interesting. So that's this week in UFC 300. Guys, hit us up on our social media. Let us know what your call is on these fights.
Did you hear that bonuses are 300,000?
Is that true too? I keep hearing rumors about it, but is that
at the press conference? Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this. Out of the entire card, pick a performance of the night and a fight of the night. What do you think?
I think performance of the night would probably go, Jesus Christ. I mean, goddamn.
I know.
You know, it could be all over the place. I think like performance of the night bonuses could probably go to the Oliveira-Tsarukyan fight and also the Prochaska-Rakic fight. In terms of like fight of the night,
you're probably
looking at like Gaethje Holloway.
Yeah.
Just out of the potential of the bloodbath stuff, or Weili Zhang and Jiannan Yan. That could be a fight of the night right there.
I totally agree.
What about you? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking performance. If Jamahal Hill wins, they probably give him that. And then fight of the night, definitely Gaethje Holloway or something on the undercard. I'd say Jim Miller, Bobby Green.
Jim Miller, Bobby Green, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
As is Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. That could be a performance of the night by either of those fighters in that context, given what's at stake, given the style that they have. I'll say one last thing the light heavyweight title fight again against between Pereira and Jamal Hill. I think it's going to be a compelling fight, but I don't think it's going to be like necessarily a lot of fireworks. I think there's so much at stake. I don't think you're going to see Jamal Hill get too reckless.
Hopefully.
You might see Pereira be almost too patient in terms of using his power, which you like to see, but at the same time, sometimes you got to put it on somebody, especially you start falling behind.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good fight, but I would say like, I don't think that one would be like a fight of the night thing. That's my opinion of that one.
Where are you going to watch UFC 300?
I'll be at a homie's house.
Nice.
How about you? Where are you going to legally watch this?
I think I'm actually going to buy it. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to.
What the fuck is going on? Oh, dude, work must be good, man. Sean's spending money.
Yeah, I think because also my kids want to watch too.
They're getting into Muay Thai again, aren't they?
Yeah. They've been. Shout out to Coach Bryson. He's fighting tomorrow at the, SF Combat event out in Napa.
Oh, over in Napa. Okay. Yeah. Hey, shout out, buddy.
So I'm going to hopefully after I hang out with my kids, like I have to do like a side job on Saturday. I'll catch all the fights after that.
He's the side job just to pay for this pay-per-view.
Kind of, because it's fucking, what is it? Like how much is UFC 300 right now?
Isn't it like something like close to $90 these days?
It's $80.
Yeah. So you put in plus tax, correct?
Fuck.
That's actually, what I usually just round. I round way up when I buy pay-per-views. I'm spending close to $100, which would probably be better about like my money.
Plus the beer, plus the drinks and the food.
Carelessly spending shit. So speaking of like something that doesn't cost that much money, there's also a PFL.
I forgot.
Lightweights and light heavyweights. So that's going to go down tomorrow. The opening of that season, headlined by the champ Kasanganai versus Polizzi. You also got also at life heavyweight Wilkinson versus Breeze. At lightweight, we got Collard versus a pit bull from Bellator coming into the PFL, man. That's kind of exciting right there. Sabadu Sai versus Silvera, our boy Sabadu Sai. So that's going to be kind of interesting with the PFL this season, with the inclusion of some of this Bellator talent into the, what's up?
Shout out to Bay Area favorite, Adam Piccolotti, participating in the lightweight regular season on the bottom of the
main. Yeah, that's right. He's going up against Wilson. That's right.
How about Shoeface? Antonio Carlos Jr.
Is that his official fight name, Shoeface?
I thought it was. It's cara de zapato.
Is that what that means?
I don't know.
I know zapato does mean shoe. What is the rest of that?
I don't know. Cara de zapato.
Shoeface.
Wasn't he like a jiu-jitsu world champion or something like that back in the day or something?
Just because he's Brazilian? Wow, Sean. Wow. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Damn. But it'd be very interesting. I'm like, especially in the light heavyweights and in lightweight, I'm expecting a lot of finishes.
Yeah.
Especially the way some of these matchups are shaking out. And I'm kind of looking forward to Collard versus Pitbull because I want to see Pitbull entering the PFL season decides to try to make a ton of noise against Clay Collard. They both have very similar records. Clay Collard, much taller than Patricky Pitbull, though.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be an interesting one to watch. So that's a matchup I'm looking forward to right there, folks. Collard versus Patricky Pitbull.
Yeah, and Collard, he's also coming off that loss to AJ McKee, I think, by submission. So they share a common opponent there. So expect Patricky Ferreira to probably take him out. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting. And then later on this year, Bellator will be putting on their own events. I'd be curious to see whether they're going to have some known PFL talent go into Bellator at all. But it seems like more like PFL is going to be the the flagship promotion, and they're going to bring in the top names from Bellator into PFL. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's still in the infant stages of this union between the two promotions.
Yeah. And interesting to see so what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if boxing's your jam, guys, couple of things going on, this Saturday, super featherweight fight in Manchester, England, Jordan Gill versus Zelfa Barrett. And that's about it. That's about it in terms of, boxing. I know if jiu-jitsu, is more of your jam, you got a couple things going on this weekend. The Nashville Spring International Open for IBJJF is this weekend. Mm. And so is the Houston International Open for IBJJF.
Was Coach Rocky competing this
for
weekend?
You, Sean? It's also, there's also the, and for you, Sean, also there's the Houston International, Nogi, championship, going on for IBJJF. So I know that's the only thing you care about because you love your grapplers as, unclothed as possible. You yes. filthy, filthy man.
Isn't Coach Rocky, competing this weekend? I think he told me.
Okay. I have no idea.
I think he told me he's doing something out of state. So, Rocky, good luck to you, buddy.
Maybe it's that Houston Open because right. there's a no-gi thing. So,
yeah.
You know, get some barbecue while you're out there.
Yeah, we got some rounds.
Hey, speaking of training in jiu-jitsu, how is your training going?
Dude, I'm feeling good, man. Like, I was just talking to one of my teammates and, you know, they got that Jiu-Jitsu World League coming up.
When is that?
That's next weekend.
Yeah? And you're going to do it? You're going to sign
up? No. They actually closed. Oh, it actually sold out, man. Which kind of sucks. But, you know, I was just in there helping the guys out. There's a bunch of my teammates that are going to be doing it. And, man, I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I'm starting to feel good and I'm starting to feel, you know, like I'm rolling at, you know, not full potential yet, but I think I can, you know, I've been pulling some cool stuff and now my ear is starting to blow up a little bit.
Now he's a real grappler. He's got that cauliflower ear. What a tough guy.
Yep.
Now I can't sleep. Sean's feeling froggy. He sounds like he's about to make the leap.
I can't even sleep on my left side of my head or my right side of my head now. It's like, fuck. Fuck that.
I thought maybe you just sleep like that because you don't want to face your wife.
That too.
By the way, guys, follow Sean's Instagram and follow him and his wife have a shared account now. What's the name of that account, Sean?
It's at Sean and Pam. It's my wife and I. We do some like funny
they
little
do some
skits and
stuff.
Yeah, you know, have we actually gotten a good response from them?
And guys, don't look for and you perverts, don't look for any link in the bio.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Okay?
It's coming soon.
More
right?
entertaining stuff. couple shit. It's coming soon. Okay, that's what she said. Pause. Couple stuff. Really, pretty entertaining stuff. You know. So some of my friends have noticed it, Sean. So hopefully, get some more eyes on that account with your wife.
Thanks, man.
This weekend, shout out to a lot of our students at Hapkido USA. We've got belt testing for a number.
That's always good.
I know a lot of our students are out of town because they're on spring break. Your loss, yo. Yeah. But you can always test next month.
Motherfuckers.
So we're excited about that. And shout out to the homie, Gabe David, going out to Martinez this weekend because he is having a baby shower. Him and his lady are expecting later this year. So Gabe David, head coach over at Rooted Legacy Muay Thai.
Gabe, can you follow me already, man? We you know, we don't know each other that well, but please follow me. I'm a fan.
The thirst is real.
I'm a fan.
The social media thirst is real, Sean. God damn. Follow me.
Follow me, bro.
Please. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to be that annoying. It's late.
What else are you up to this weekend, man?
Dude, that's it. Just excited about belt testing for the Hapkido students. Checking out the fights this week on a pay-per-view and heading out to the East Bay to support a homie in his next chapter in his life.
Nice, man. Well, that's going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to share and subscribe and like the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. Mine is Sean_Pierre_. Yours, Carlo?
Hapkido1 on Instagram.
Hey, don't forget to follow, don't forget to hit up Magala Jiu-Jitsu in San Francisco, 10th Planet in Daly City, Omni Movement in Hercules, and FTCC in Las Vegas.
I'm at Hapkido USA. here in the Sunset District, San Francisco. We're with our Kohaldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team, our Golden Pizza Muay Thai team. Shout out to the fam over it's like I am that team. I'm part of that team. Shout out to Omega Martial Arts. We might have some fight news to announce pretty soon.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned. So shout out to our friends and our fam at Pacific Ring Sports. They're getting busy pretty soon with a lot of events for their fight team. Shout out to Sama Martial Arts of Pinole, and shout out to again to our friends and fam at Rooted Legacy Muay Thai in Martinez. They've got some fight news to announce pretty soon as well, and I'll make sure to shout it out here in future episodes.
Shit. Don't forget to see UFC 300 this weekend, guys. It's gonna be, you know, it's gonna start at 3 o'clock, and it starts with Cody Garbrandt, Davidson Figueiredo. Can't ask for anything more.
And don't forget to check out PFL tomorrow, folks, on ESPN Plus.
And I want those shorts that Ray was wearing, the one with Carlo Valero's last name on it. And
yeah, dude.
Those are sick, man. Those are sick.
Thank you, Ray. We appreciate the love.
Take care, guys. Be safe.
Peace.
Take care, guys.